7 on ESPN Las Vegas, 1100 AM and 100.9 FM, KWWN, Las Vegas. It's time for Cofield and Company. Live at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar, inside Treasure Island, it's Cofield and Company.
There we go, Cofield and Company, live here at Treasure Island. Alex White, Greg Salerno, we will be with you for the first hour. Steve Cofield joins us in the 4 o'clock hour. We've got a lot of great guests lined up for you, but as I mentioned, live here at the Golden Circle at Treasure Island, great event going on. If you are listening to us in Vegas, come down, come see us, come hang out with us. You are going to get a free Modelo if you are wearing your college football gear. What do you think about that, Greg?
I think it's amazing. We're here at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island, and you have to come down here. One, the chicken salad, which I am always on board with the chicken salad, but you should come down here and wear your college gear because, like you said, you get free Modelo. They have great food here, awesome drink specials. You can watch all the games. There's TVs all over the place. Lots of fun and enjoyment.
And they're keeping this going because there's a big game. I don't know if you know. There's a big game here in Las Vegas at Allegiant Stadium, LSU versus USC. It is the Vegas Kickoff Classic, and they're going to be giving away Modelo that day as well.
That's awesome, dude. I like Modelo a lot, by the way. Have you ever had Modelo?
I have, yes.
It's very good. I like all the Mexican beers.
I do, too. Yeah, I have like a lime or a lemon in it, though.
Yeah, well, I mean, you have to. It's like that's the way it goes. It's like sacrilegious not to do that.
Absolutely.
Do you do the salt on it, too?
No, not really. Do you?
I saw a lady. No, but I thought I was supposed to because I was at this Mexican restaurant. I used to live in a hotel. Now I live in a house. I know it's weird. But when I was living in a hotel, there was this Mexican restaurant downstairs I used to go to all the time. And I'd watch this lady, like, put, I don't know, 7,000 milligrams of salt in her beer. Like, she would order, like, a Corona and just, like, keep pouring salt in it. And I don't know if you're supposed to do that after every drink or what. Like, I know tequila shots, you know, you lick the salt off your hand. And then I think you drink it and then do the lime.
Right, yes.
In that order.
I think that's the right order.
But, yeah, I've never actually poured salt into my beer before.
No, me either.
No?
I haven't tried that one.
No? What's your favorite beer of all beers? Actually, no, don't give a free plug to a beer, please. Steve will get mad at me. I don't even care. But, yeah, come on down here. Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar. We're having a good time. Wear your college gear, like she said. Get some free Modelo. And I'm pretty excited. It's Friday.
And football is back.
And football is back. And I love football. I love everything about football. We're going to talk a lot of football today. And I want to play football. I want to do everything football. I love football.
Four FBS versus FBS games tonight. We're looking forward to those, and then a full slate tomorrow, and then the NFL gets started next Thursday. It is finally here.
Are you excited?
I am.
As a gambling person, like, how big a week is this? Is it bigger for you for college or for NFL? NFL is a juggernaut, right?
Honestly, I bet more college, though.
Do you really bet more college?
Yes.
Do you that for a certain reason? Is there a specific reason for it? Or
I think you can find more edge, more value. NFL is tough.
Okay.
It's hard to win consistently betting on the NFL.
Right.
So.
All right. Is that for a guest, James, that headset over there? Yeah. Okay. I'm just making sure. You can talk. You don't have to, like, just nod your head over. I was just wondering because I wanted to make sure we were set up or whatever. So.
Yes, sir. Yes,
okay.
Sir.
All right. Thank you, sir. That's all.
So, a lot going on. We are talking about football here. Let's start with Brandon Ayuk. He finally signs with the San Francisco 49ers, and they can put that behind him. What's your take on this?
Well, I mean, it's one of those things, again, we talked about the CeeDee Lamb thing all offseason, right? Like, what's going to happen? The Cowboys are so dumb. Bleh. Season's ruined. And then, like, 5 days before the season starts, they sign him. They sign Ayuk now. Now, the bigger thing to me, Steve and I talked about this last week. I don't see what the big deal about Ayuk is in the first place. I think he's good. I don't think he's, like, Randy Moss. Like, they shouldn't have been. This whole thing about him, this drama, I don't think was necessary. I would have just got rid of him, but whatever. Apparently they want him on the roster. Good signing. But now Trent Williams still isn't playing. So I don't know what they're going to do because if you look at the most valuable player on that team, he might be the most valuable player in the league. I don't know if a lineman you could say that about, but Trent Williams is that guy, and he's not even playing. Right now they don't even know if he's going to play. So now we have another drama to talk about until the season starts.
I'm with you. I will not bet on the San Francisco 49ers until Trent Williams is playing and on that team because he is so valuable to that team. Three games last year without Trent Williams or Debo, it wasn't even competitive. The Niners lost all three of those games.
You're right. They weren't even close either. They didn't look like the same team, like, at all. Now, I don't know if that's because they run to that side a lot or because of just the combination of both those guys not being there or the teams they were playing, sometimes bad matchups. But, yeah, it does look like he's – extremely valuable. And if I was the Niners, that's the drama I'd be worried about right now, not Ayuk. I don't know if you saw the story about, now speaking of guys who aren't signed, Dak Prescott, who we've been talking about him all offseason as well, is not signed up with the Cowboys, who wants a new contract, maybe upwards of $60 million a year. He's saying, I don't know, the way he worded it was that he doesn't feel like the Cowboys have a lot of faith in him. I was curious your take on this, because when money's involved, I don't know if emotions should be involved, but if I'm Dak and I've given that much to this team, I'd be kind of pissed that they haven't signed me yet.
And really, he's been so good with the PR, with the media, said all the right things for his whole career.
Yeah, he's very Derek Jeter-like, where he just doesn't say anything bad or, you know, any of that stuff. So
now for some emotion to start to come out, I can understand it, definitely. But I think Cofield actually said this first early in the summer, so I have to give him credit for this. But now I want to back the Cowboys and back Dak for this year, because I think he's going to have a fantastic year with his last year on his contract. And if it's not the Cowboys that pay him, it's going to be somebody else.
Unfortunately, I agree with you. I'm an Eagles fan, and I want them to lose every single game for the rest of their life. But, yeah, every time there's like a team where everybody's like, oh, they're so dumb, they stink, they had the worst offseason, then they wind up, you know, winning the whole thing or doing really, really well. And then there's always a team that, like, wins every preseason game, and everybody's on their jock, and then they suck. So I'm hoping that the Cowboys stink, but I don't think they will. I think they're actually going to have a surprisingly good season, which makes me sad.
Chicago Bears won every preseason. How do you feel about them?
See, I don't know. That's a good question. You just, like, totally threw my entire thing out the window. But I do think they're going to have a decent season, because I think Caleb Williams has showed a lot during the preseason. And it wasn't really, like, whether he was good or not. We knew he was good. It was, like, is the NFL going to be a shock to him? Is he not going to show up, you know, and look the same? And he looks exactly the same to me. So I think the Bears are going to be pretty good. I think that their defense is going to be obviously good. And now if they finally have an offense. When was the last time the Bears had a quarterback? You were like, oh, yeah, that's a good quarterback.
I'm not going to lie. I was pretty high on Justin Fields. I still think he has a shot. I was actually listening to you and Cofield, though, the other day talking about that ridiculous story and how they kind of played us, that there was a quarterback competition.
Yeah, with the Steelers. Yeah.
With the Steelers. I thought you guys made tremendous points, and they did kind of play us, and it was always Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
But, yes, comparing those two is like apples and oranges. So, yes, this is the first time that they can really have some faith and believe that they have their franchise quarterback.
The Justin Fields thing to me is like potential versus realized talent. Like, I think Justin Fields has a lot of good tools. I think he's a good arm. But when it comes to, you know, if you're going to be a two-way quarterback, you have to go two ways. You can't just be a runner and that's it. And I feel like the passing game, he just, you know, for whatever reason, I feel like Caleb Williams is light years ahead of him in the passing game. And I think it showed during the preseason. And I don't know. I don't think Fields is bad. I think he's very talented. But I wouldn't go into the season with him as my starting quarterback if I was an NFL team.
Right. There's a lot of unknown there. He does have a high ceiling, but still a lot of question marks. You brought up Caleb Williams, and that goes into our college football game of the week, which there's a few really good ones, but USC-LSU is definitely one of them. Both losing their Heisman-winning quarterbacks, Caleb Williams with USC, and then, of course, LSU. So Do you have a college team that you follow? Is there a game that you're really looking forward to this weekend?
You know, this is one of them. What did you say, Jared? Oh.
And I didn't say it on the air, so no one heard it.
Well, don't talk down the line then. This isn't, you know, CNN, man. I don't know. I thought you were talking. All right, fine.
I was talking to you. I was talking to Alex.
I know, but, like, I thought that you were on air. I didn't know. I thought you said something on air. Not my fault. All right, maybe it is my fault. Whatever. Fine. All right, fine. Let's take a break then, Alex.
A little behind the scenes.
Yeah, everybody. Jared's making us take a break, so.
All right, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island.
Cofield and Company, Alex White, Greg Salerno, live from the Treasure Island, Golden Circle. Come down here. We will be here from 3 to 6 p.m. and from 3 to 5. If you are wearing your college gear, you will get a free Modelo here.
That's very true. I'm sorry. Jared, by the way, I'm sorry for being rude to you. I wasn't being rude at all. I just didn't understand what you said. So I was, you know, just asking what you were saying down the line. But anyways, now we were already talking about this. You introduced what we were talking about, the big game that's coming up this week, Alex, or this weekend.
That's right.
Yeah.
Vegas Classic, USC versus LSU. And John Cicinti is here.
Is this making you really weird that I'm like behind you?
Yeah, it's
good. Be happy to go to the other side. It's kind of weirding me out looking at the side of your head.
It's fine.
This is better, right?
Yeah, okay. Much better.
is it saciente? Is that how you say it?
The Italians used to say sacenti, and then they thought they'd try to make it more American when they came to New York.
Yeah.
So sacenti sounded more American than sacenti.
I see.
Yeah, they totally fooled them.
I don't even know what my family's last name is because we're Salerno, which is a province in Italy, so I'm assuming they just saw where they were from and were like, stamped it, or you know what I mean? Because it's like, who's named after their town? Like, you know how people like named, you know,
yeah,
San Diego and stuff. Like, so I don't know. I don't know what my actual family's last name is, but sorry.
Yours,
go ahead,
yours is too easy. You're okay. You got it made.
Yes, mine is too easy.
Yeah, nobody's screwing yours up.
So, big weekend. Are you excited? Tell us all the events that are going on this weekend.
Yeah, well, there's not a lot. Unlike the bowl game that we do, the bowl game, the teams are here for 5 nights. We program 14 different events in 5 days. So there's a lot going on. This is a regular season game, right? It's the opener of the season. So the teams are treating it like a business trip. Originally, LSU was going to come in tonight. And out of nowhere, Coach Kelly comes into a staff meeting. He goes, you know what? I changed my mind. We're not going in on Friday. We're going in on Saturday. So both teams are getting here at 5 o'clock.
Wow.
They're going and they're going meeting, rooms, meals, meetings, bed, and then breakfast, meetings, bus, game, gone, right? So not a lot going on. Where we are having a lot of this has become a massive, massive citywide event, which you've seen at events like Super Bowl. You've seen it at events like F1. When I say citywide events, we're not running the events and we're not putting them on, but citywide you see parties going on. You see special DJs. You see parties at bars, viewing parties. So everybody's activating and taking advantage of all the people coming to town. I must have gotten 6 or 7 phone calls or texts today from people going, I'm at the airport right now, and it is a madhouse. Everybody's wearing USC or LSU gear. How many people can you fit in that damn stadium? Because I think they're all here at the airport. So what we found is that people are coming to Vegas, even if they don't have tickets, to enjoy the holiday weekend, the party, and all the things going on in Vegas.
Is Vegas becoming like the spot? Because I noticed that anytime there's a big congregation now, if it used to be somewhere else or wherever, they all want to come here now. Like, this is the Vegas is the place. Vegas is the place for all the events. Vegas is the place for all the new stuff. Are we going to become that town?
Become. We're there, brother. We're the sports and entertainment capital for a reason. And listen, some of these massive events, we've already seen people come to town without having the tickets, and they have a really, really good time, right? They're there with their friends. They're there with their families. They're enjoying Vegas for what it is. And then when it comes game day, maybe they're not going to the stadium and having a ticket, but they've been here for 3 days enjoying our town and having a blast with all their friends. And then they just go find a watch party and a bar to watch it on TV. I mean, it's on ABC as a standalone game. So there's no other game on TV. So every single TV and every single bar and every single sports bar will have that game on.
To your point, though, so yes, Vegas has always been that place, March Madness, Super Bowl, people would come here. But now it's just a whole nother animal that we actually host certain things. So you have the opportunity to go watch it live, or you can do the watch parties. I'm glad you also brought up that it's a standalone game. I love that for us. But what was college football thinking? Without competing against the NFL, they should have used the entire Sunday and had like a triple header, right?
Yeah, they probably could. I mean, Saturday's jam packed, right? There's some great games all day Saturday. Friday there was a couple good games last night. The one thing that we've been trying to do and convince people, and these games are getting harder and harder to schedule because with conference realignment, teams have really hard conference schedules, and they're like, do I really want to play this tough of a game to start? I look at it the other way, like both of these programs are on national TV with a massive, massive TV window. This is good for college football. You hit the nail on the head. There's no NFL going on, right? You have an opportunity to start the season and own the college, own the sports season or the fall sports season. There should be more of these big, big games scheduled. And there are big ones tonight. There's tomorrow. And then there's another one on Monday. But we'd love to see them take better advantage of these types of weekends where the NFL's not playing, and then we all know the NFL dominates the next couple months, right? No matter how big of a sporting event that is.
Does it help that now it's kind of intertwined? Because Alex was bringing it up. Yeah, we used to have, like, you know, I have friends that come here every year for March Madness and just hang out for that week, you know, even if they're not going to be going to a game or whatever. But now that it's sort of meshed together, the sports with the gambling, because it used to be so compartmentalized and they were so scared of, you know, having that look at all. Does this now help it a whole bunch that it's not that big of a deal anymore, the stigma on it or whatever it is?
Yeah, I think that does help. And listen, people can gamble in other cities now, right? They used to have to come to Las Vegas to be here. But you're the expert, so you tell me. Clearly, so this game opened up at 6.5. I, unfortunately, am not allowed to bet the game, but I keep a close eye on it. But it got down to 4, right? Which leads me to believe there's a lot of action going on this game. And people are fired. They're probably betting it before they get here. So yeah, that probably adds to it. I have a feeling you're going to see a lot of money swinging starting tomorrow or tonight or early Sunday morning. But listen, everybody was crazy to think that the gambling aspect didn't make all the sporting events a little more interesting, a little more
right. fun.
And we've been to enough of them. I was joking with some folks last night. I said, watch when the game gets to like 64 points and you can hear the buzz in the stadium and you know who had what side of it. And then if it is a close game and it's coming down to that four-point number, you can tell who's got action on the game. Think about it. We got 64,000 people potentially in the stadium and you're going to be able to tell who's got action on it. It's pretty fun.
Well, and that one did move up just a little bit, 63.5 to 64.5. Both defenses really struggled last year, and dynamite offenses. People are kind of expecting that same thing, so you're right. If it hits 64, that place will be wild. I want to ask you about the Vegas Bowl, though. You have been doing this for quite some time. You're talking about all the events. I imagine that the planning has started last year, right, or beginning of this year for your event coming up now. What all goes into planning this Vegas Bowl?
Yeah, so typically the February, March is my getaway time and my recharge the battery time, and then we start gearing up for the bowl in April. This is a very unusual year. We have a little bit of – we try to get a head start on it, but with this kickoff game being as big of a monster as it is, it's kind of put the bowl in the back burner just a little bit. And then, of course, let's just keep piling on massive events. This year we're bringing Duke and Kansas to Vegas to play at T-Mobile Arena in November. So our organization's got that going on in Vegas too. So we've got all of them, and you know, the bowl's still lurking, right? But the good thing is it's been around for a long time. We have a ton of supporters. We know we can go back to folks at the last minute. This is going to be a fun year. We've got what technically still the Pac-12 teams, but we're back on with an SEC team this year. So that's always exciting when you can welcome the SEC to Vegas. But let's get through this one first. You're giving me anxiety by talking about the bowl game before we get through this one. But but yeah, we've got a program, you know, 14, 15 events for the teams. A lot of the hotel things are done. Some of the things are rinse and repeat. The challenge this year for us, though, is that the calendar was not our friend. So we're playing on Friday, December 27th, which is an unusual spot for us. First of all, on a Friday, we've always been on a Saturday. Second of all, to have teams here, you know, they come in 5 nights prior. So we're going to have teams here on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, something we're not used to, something that we've not had to deal with in the past. And so it's an unusual year for us in the bowl game that we've got to start thinking about and start getting creative on.
Does Friday kind of help it out a little bit? Because a lot of times the more watched national games are on the Friday games. So does that kind of make it better? Or do you think that Saturday, you know, I mean, would you prefer the Friday over the other?
So television?
Yeah.
Great. And the key is you want to try to mirror the 3 T's, right?
Right.
Television, travel, TV. I'm sorry. Television, travel, and tickets. So the TV is going to be great. Right, the travel and the tickets kind of go hand in hand. The challenge with that is if you have Christmas Day going on December 25th, the expectations everybody's going to be at home, everybody's going to be a family. You're going to expect them to get on a plane or travel here on the 26th for a game on the 27th. That could be a little bit of a challenge, right? Now, when we're selecting teams, we're going to try to really focus in on teams that it's easy to get here, right? So they can either come in on that 26th or come in on that 27th and maybe make a couple days for it. If they came in the morning of the 27th, maybe they stay a couple extra days and stay for New Year's, right? So we're going to look at all those. But the date this year does add some complications to things.
Back to this game this weekend, Modelo, proud sponsor, and you are actually here in person with us at the Golden Circle. Tell everybody what exactly you are doing here, and then you'll be back Sunday, right? Or somebody from your team?
I will see you guys Sunday at Whiskey, right, over right by at Allegiant Stadium. And so today is National College Colors Day. So I was going to come down here and offer to buy somebody a Modelo if they came in here with their college colors. I don't care what team. It doesn't have to be USC. It doesn't have to be LSU. But we'll buy you a Modelo because Modelo is the title sponsor of our Vegas Kickoff Classic. They've been great. They've been an outstanding partner. When they came to the table, I thought for sure this was going to get shot down and rejected because we've struggled with having beer sponsors or liquor sponsors on college games. To your point, like, the world has just completely changed, right? Now we embrace sports betting. Apparently, we embrace beer companies as well. So it goes hand in hand, right? With National College Colors Day, drink a beer. But yes, I will be back there down at Whiskey on Sunday. I'll pop over from the stadium, and Modelo's gonna have a presence there too. I'm sure they're gonna be buying some folks some beers, and beer and football, they go really well together.
They really do go well together. Like, how many? Okay.
And no, I don't put salt in my beer.
Right? I was going to ask you this because we were talking about that earlier. Like, how many beers do you think is a good amount of beers to drink in the first half of a college football game? That's my question.
You're asking the wrong guy because, like, I can't drink a lot of beer. I know I'm saying this. We're talking about our title sponsor in Modelo, and I should be saying how I can drink 30 beers in the first half of the class. But, like, after the second or third one, I'm like, dude, I'm a little full. Like, let's switch to some tequila. I'm not afraid to throw a piece of fruit in a beer.
Yeah.
But I'm not throwing any salt in a beer.
I feel like that too, man, because if I drink too many beers, I'm like, man, I'm wasting, like, space. You know, like, I have so much space in there for other things, like tequila.
I want some food, too.
Yeah, exactly. Some food, some whatever. And they do have great food over there at Whiskey Stadium, too, here as well, over at Golden Circle. But, yeah, so that's pretty awesome.
Did you have a number, though? How many beers? First half of the
I'm going to say six. Is that too many?
I was going to go three.
Oh, really? Yeah. Well, I'm trying to think.
That's impressive.
Well, because that's like, what, an hour and a half? I mean, maybe four. I'll say four. Is that? Should I change it so I don't sound like a loser? Four? Is that better?
Listen, no, stick to it. Be proud of six. Own that.
Plus, I was thinking for the college kids. They are definitely... That.
Yeah, I know.
I think it changes in your life too, right? Like, there was a time where eight probably would have been no problem for me.
Sure.
As you get a little bit older in life, it gets a little bit harder to chug beers.
Jared, when you did the 999 challenge, what did you? There's a thing called the 999 challenge here that the Aviators do. And
okay.
It's at their stadium. I know. I'm sorry. I'm going all over the place.
I think we just did it with their.
Oh, you just did it that one time? It's not a real thing?
Well, no,
it was a baseball trend. You could do it at any baseball ballpark.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
nine beers, nine hot dogs, and nine innings.
Okay, so the hot dog thing is going to be a little bit of a challenge.
that's the most challenging
part.
That
one was a challenge. I'm not sure. How do you do nine beers and nine hot dogs?
That's what I'm saying. It was tough. Jared tried it, and he couldn't. Well, I won't say what happened to you, Jared. I won't embarrass you. But he had a little problem after, like, two beers and one hot dog.
So. Yeah, but I ended up with 11 beers.
No, I know. That's true. He did.
How many hot dogs?
Like four.
Yeah. in a fun fact, I've gotten a lot of celebrity requests for this game. As you can imagine, it's a pretty hot item. And there's been a lot of – Joey Chestnut was actually reached out and wanted to come to the game. And I actually responded back to our PR guy. I said – only if he's willing to do a little three hot dog challenge on me. I've yet to hear back. So I'm going to go out and say he's probably scared of me.
Maybe.
I had to set the limit at three because I'm like, there's no way I'm going past three.
Can you give us anybody else that will be at the game?
You know, there's several. You probably just saw yesterday Shaquille O'Neal is going to be there, and he's actually doing a post-game DJ set after party
in
the building. So as soon as the game ends, he's going to pop up in Winfield Club and do a DJ Diesel set for everybody there. You know, we believe Reggie Bush is going to be there. The last two Heisman winners, Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, are going to be there. You know, I've heard a lot of rumors. Some of them we're still vetting because I'm like, wait, there's something seems fishy here. But there's going to be quite a few coming. I think most of them will have ties to the two schools. But I think it's gonna be a fun day.
Very cool. Both of them supporting their former schools and will be starting in the NFL in a week there. John Cesenti, thank you so much. We appreciate you joining us. We're going to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. Myself and Greg, we'll be right back here on Cofield & Company.
Now back to Cofield & Company, live at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Sports Reno.
A lot of fun here at the Golden Circle. Alex White, Greg Sinero here with you for Cofield & Company. He will be with us in about 25 minutes. It's time to do a giveaway. You want to do a giveaway?
I love giveaways, dude. I tell you what, I give this away a lot because I work on comp as well. So this is near and dear to my heart. The old Jerry Cantrell from Alice in Chains. September 11th, we'll be playing with Cano Box. Bush is the headliner, obviously. And it's going to be awesome over there at Planet Hollywood. Let's go with caller number 7. Caller number 7 right now at 702-364-1100. Caller number 7, you will be going to Bush, Candlebox, Jerry Cantrell, September 11th, Planet Hollywood. It's a good time.
So a lot of football talk.
Yes.
Which makes sense. We're excited. It's fall. It's officially football. But we do still have a couple other sports going on. And there's some really good WNBA games tonight. I want to talk to you about the rookie conversation a little bit.
My goodness. Are you kidding? Like, come on, man. What are we even doing? I don't know. Did you see this? Did you see the list that they had? The rookie, the WNBA Rookie of the Year thing?
What's the list here?
So there's a list from ESPN that has their rankings of the rookies for the WNBA this year, okay? And I don't know, man. It's just silly to me because – this Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark thing has gone back and forth so much. You know, it's like one after another of hating and whatever. And I know there's some fans on both, you know, whatever, Caitlin fans and Angel, toxic fans. But this ranking, the ESPN came out with their list. And at this point in the year, now I don't know what you know what? Maybe you'll disagree with me, Alex. I have no idea. At this point in the year, though, isn't it pretty obvious that Caitlin Clark is the best rookie?
She's, if I had a vote, she has my vote.
I mean, she's in the MVP conversation. How is she not the best rookie?
She broke the assist record. She leads the league in assists right now.
Yes.
Not even just for rookies.
Yeah.
Of everyone. Yeah.
And she leads Angel Reese in points. I mean, pretty much everything besides rebounds. I just don't understand it. This the whole thing, all of a sudden, now where rebounds are the most important stat in the world. Was Dennis Rodman the MVP now, too? I mean, I just don't understand where we're going with this. I mean, it's like Andre Drummond versus Steph Curry. I'm not saying Andre Drummond's bad. He was great in his prime. He could rebound. He could do all kinds of stuff. He probably finished a little better at the rim than Angel Reese does, but he was good, you know? That's not a bad comparison. I'm just saying, and rebounds are good. But, like, when did double-doubles and rebounds become, like, the most important thing in basketball?
So this is from ESPN, actually. They have Angel Reese ranked number one right now.
Yes, ranked number one rookie in the entire league. And, I mean, there's other ones that are kind of suspect in the list, too, that I think should be higher. But I just feel like – and this is not – I'm not – like, I don't care. I'm not one of these guys that's like, Caitlin Clark, man. I go home and cry if somebody says something bad about her. Like, I don't care. But let's be realistic. Like, she's definitely the rookie. She's, like – I think she's, like, third – and the MVP, you would probably know. I don't know.
She is third right now.
Yeah, she's like third in the MVP chances. How is she not rookie of the year? That makes no sense.
She's above Sabrina Ionescu. Her odds. She's 66 to 1 to win MVP. Sabrina, 150 to 1.
And where's Angel Reese on that list?
She is not on that
list. Thank you. That's what I'm saying. And again, that's not hating. I mean, whatever. They might be nice people, have a beer with, or whatever. But you're just not as good as Caitlin Clark.
Well, and I mean, Indiana has not had a winning season in quite some time, and they are pretty much locked into the playoffs right now. Chicago's still fighting for their playoff spot, but they've been struggling since the break.
Yeah, I know. That's another thing, too, is like people, okay, so whenever you have an argument with somebody, there's like three things they go to. It's like, that guy played, he would know, which is ridiculous because Michael Jordan might be the worst talent evaluator ever. But then they also go to like, you know, now it's rebounds all of a sudden, whatever that came from. And then there's this thing where it's like wins, right, which I always think is weird because it's a team accomplishment wins. But even if you go to wins, they're winning more, too. So what is the – it was like, oh, she doesn't have a ring. Well, she's winning more now in the WNBA than Angel is. So how is – I just don't understand the number one ranking at all. Again, I know it's petty, and I don't – it's not like the biggest deal in my life. Like, I'm not, like, going to go home and be sad. But it's really dumb. I think it's stupid.
I think she's going to win. I wouldn't take too much from that ranking.
No, I think
more people are on the same side as us.
Right.
And, I mean, the other argument is her turnovers, but – pros and cons. I mean, she has brought the best out of her teammates, again, with the assist. and she, I mean, she's lifted that Fever team for sure.
It's funny too, because rebounds have become the most important stat, and then now turnovers are all suddenly the worst stat in the world. Like Kobe Bryant, I think, led the league in turnovers. I mean, anybody who has the ball in their hands is going to have a lot of turnovers. That's how it works. If that's your only thing,
right?
Then you're losing. I mean, I don't know what else to tell you. But
man, it's like the quarterback conversation all over again, right?
It really is.
He throws too many interceptions. He's no good.
Right.
Don't pay him. Well, we have a lot to get to still. We're going to take one more break. And then on the next side, we've got another great guest for you. Don't go anywhere. This is Cofield and Company. But you won't hear from the messenger. Though I don't know about something that you don't understand. You got no fear of the underdog.
That's why you will not survive. Live from the Golden Circle Sportsbook inside the TI, it's Cofield and Company.
Shadur, RPO, throws this one right side, comeback, leaping grab, end zone, touchdown! Touchdown, Colorado! Who is that masked man? Travis Hunter makes the grab, and the 100th career touchdown of Shadur Sanders.
That call right there from Buffs Radio Network. Colorado gets the win 31-26 over North Dakota State. Our next guest was a fan at the Colorado game. Joining Greg and I is Chad Andros, the host of The Fan in Denver. Chad, how are you doing? And give us your major takeaways from the game last night.
I'm well. Thanks for having me. My major takeaway is Travis Hunter is an all-time college football talent. He is absolutely unbelievable. 7 catches, 135 yards, 3 touchdowns. 3 of those catches were matrix-like moves to get his hands on the ball. He hauls in everything. And, oh, yeah, by the way, he's the best defensive back in the country. And that was his offensive performance. The one takeaway that I have, however this Deion Sanders era of pans out, flames out, however it's going to end up, the takeaway we're going to have as the positive that remains throughout time is he gave us 2 years of watching Travis Hunter play football in Boulder, Colorado, because that kid is unbelievable.
You know, I was going to ask you because I saw somebody commenting today about how he might be able, I think it was RG3 said that he might be able to start in the NFL at both positions, at cornerback or, you know, defensive back and wide receiver. Do you think that would work out or translate to the NFL? Because, I mean, no matter how good you are, I know we have, like, Otani and stuff like that in baseball, but it seems to me that would be kind of ridiculously hard.
Yeah, obviously it would be. That's why, you know, very, very few people have even tried to even attempt to play any snaps both ways, much less start. But I would have him as a corner because I think from day one he could be an elite corner in the NFL, and I would play him as a slot receiver to where you could pick and choose the spots you play him. But I would definitely play him, and I would have him return punts because I've never seen a guy like this. And I'm old enough to remember seeing Deion play in college, right? So
yeah.
I've seen the Desmond Howards, right? I've seen the Charles Woodsons. I've seen guys who were elite athletes and could do a number of multiple things on the field. This guy doesn't get tired. There was a piece done last week that talked about him training with one of the top U.S. Olympic sprint coaches in the country this summer and talking before he started saying, you know, I just want to warn you, a lot of these guys that I train that are these elite world-class sprinters, they break down in my workouts. You know, they get sick, they quit, they run away after, you know, 7 or 8 sets. And Travis said, oh, I'm not worried about it. I can run all day. And the coach was like, okay, we'll see. And he started putting them through these sprinter workouts this summer. And after 7, 8, 9, these areas where some of the elite sprinters in the world would start to break down and walk off and quit or throw up, Travis Hunter got faster in the workouts. So, like, they're really, like, looking to try to study his body. I mean, it is a secretariat-like experience as to how this kid could do this because he played 129 plays with 131 last night. One that he missed was because his helmet came off and he had to come out, and he doesn't get tired. He simply does not get tired.
It's crazy.
It is absolutely crazy. And I know it is a quarterback award nowadays, but, I mean, with what we've seen from Travis Hunter, if he can stay healthy this year, he has to be in this Heisman conversation, right?
Well, if you're asking me, yes, right? But there's been many years where the best player in college football and someone that was clearly the best player did not win the Heisman Trophy, right? I can think back to Ndamukong Suh, right? Anybody who watched college football that year knew that nobody impacted and broke apart a game more than Ndamukong Suh did, and he had no chance to win the Heisman. I think Travis Hunter is a little bit different because he scores touchdowns. And however long he can continue to score touchdowns, if this offense can put up points and he's the biggest reason for it, I think he does have much more of a chance in that regard. But, yeah, absolutely 100%. I don't have a question that he is the best player in college football, if that's what the award is supposed to go to.
Talking to Chad Andrews, he's the host of The Fan in Denver. The Colorado, you know, as a whole, how do you see their season winding up? Because I know yesterday, you know, they obviously won the game, but was it closer than you wanted it to be, or did you think that that was like a gutty win? Because it's going to be tougher opponents coming up.
Yeah, I think they're in trouble. You know, a lot of what I've said in the preseason is I thought they had a chance to get to 7 wins this year, like a 7-5 team, go over their 5.5 total. It's going to be tough for them to get there. They're going to have to stay healthy. They're going to have to put up some serious points. The one thing that stood out to me last night when Deion Sanders likes to talk about how much they improved their offensive and defensive line, and he spoke like that was an absolute, and there was no doubt that they had improved. They didn't look that improved to me. And what really jumped off the page is they still look small up front. Like they can be pushed around. And, you know, I've got a couple friendly wagers out there with a few people about next week, because I think they are in for a world of trouble when they go to Nebraska on Saturday night.
Let's switch over to the professional side. I want to get your take on the Denver Broncos. What's your feel right now for Bo Nix getting the starting position at quarterback?
I think it was something we all knew was going to happen. I don't know that that's necessarily the best chance to win right now for Denver, but it's what Sean Payton wants. And if Sean Payton has proven anything in his 2 years in Denver, is he is going to play the way he wants to play. I'm a little bit different in the way I look at a coach. I value the skill of a coach being able to coach whatever roster he has. Sean Payton has not taken that approach. He's taken the approach of, I'm going to play this way, so I just want guys who will do it the way I say we want it done. So as long as you run what I want run and execute it, he thinks he's going to win at a very high level. I'm a bit skeptical of that because I still go back to talent. I still go back to adapting to opponents, adapting within games. I favor that a little bit more than saying I think he's a little bit braggadocious, a little bit arrogant, and thinking that he can out-scheme somebody enough to the point where it's going to make them a playoff team or a contending team. So it's going to be a work in progress. I'm interested to see where they land, because Sean Payton will be not shy telling you, if I only win 6 games this year, that'll be the first time in my career. Well, there's not very many people that are expecting them to win more than 6 games.
Talking to Chad Andrews, he's the host of The Fan in Denver. Interesting you say they're a work in progress, because at the end of last year, I think a lot of people were surprised that they actually looked like they started making a semblance of a decent team down the stretch. And there's always a team, like maybe the Texans last year, that everybody craps on all offseason, then all of a sudden they come out and they surprise everybody. Is there any chance that Denver is that team this year?
They think they are.
Yeah.
I'll tell you 100%, they think they are. They think they're young and hungry and they don't know any better. And from their point, they're not even looking at a team like the Packers. They think they can be the Houston Texans. They think Bo Nix can be C.J. Stroud. And whether you think that's a reasonable, rational thought or not, right? That's for everybody to interpret their own way. But in terms of what they think and the way they're approaching it, yeah, they think they're going to be, you know, contending to be a 500 team, and you know, a break, you know, good injury luck. Maybe they're sitting in the same bucket they were with a month ago last year, where they're on the outside looking in as a potential playoff contender. I don't think they're that team.
Let's just look at their division here. Of course, we have the back-to-back Super Bowl champions, Kansas City Chiefs. The Raiders going through a little bit of a shift as well. And then the Chargers with Harbaugh stepping in. Where are you with this division? How do you think the Broncos will end up at the end of the season?
I'm still not sold. The challenge I have is getting an accurate read on the Chargers. As much as I respect and think Jim Harbaugh is a great coach, I think they kind of took a step back before they can go forward with what he wants to do. So I'm not sure how competitive they're going to be, even though I know a lot of people are starting to buy in. I don't know how, who's going to score for them. Who's going to score touchdowns when they lost their veteran receiver weapons. The Raiders are an interesting case for me because I know it's very popular, especially around here, but even around the country, to bag on the Raiders and call the Raiders a joke. The Broncos have never beaten the Las Vegas Raiders. They are 0-8 since the team has moved to Las Vegas.
Wow.
So, you know, there are people who will never learn their lesson. They say, oh, well, they'll beat the Raiders, or they'll sweep the Raiders, or they'll split with the Raiders. They're just automatically assuming that they're going to beat the Raiders. I can tell you one thing. This Denver Broncos team, they can be as confident as they want to be. They don't have anybody like Max Crosby on the roster. They don't have anybody like Davante Adams on the roster. Right, so like taking wins like that for granted, I think, are where the Broncos are really going to have an issue, whether that's in the building or if it's just the fan base talking smack, because the Chargers have kind of found a way to always charger and give games away to them, and the Raiders have never, you know, really been competitive in recent years. But the Broncos haven't been any better. It's just the history of the franchise that leads the fans to believe that they should beat them. They feel entitled to a win over them. I'm not so sure that's going to happen.
You know, it's funny you bring up the Raiders because, you know, a lot of people, I think, slept on their defense last year. They were actually a top 10, I think, in points defense, and they might have gotten a little bit better. The Broncos have, you know, for the last, you know, whatever, since Fangio and all that stuff, have been a very defensive football team. How are you looking at the defense for the Broncos this year?
It will be improved because, you remember, last year, the first month of the season, they gave up 37 points a game, including that 70 spot in Miami. So,
right.
Like, you can't get worse, right? But the things that they really did is they really shored up their front seven and got bigger and stronger on the defensive front to stop the run. So I think they're going to have a better chance at slowing teams down. They won't just get run over in that regard. And the secondary has some young guys that have to prove themselves, like a Riley Moss at corner opposite of Patrick Surtain. But I think the defense is going to be much improved, simply for the fact that that front seven is going to be a little bit stronger against the run. And an underrated offseason move, they brought in Jim Leonard to coach the secondary, and I think it's going to make a huge difference on that back end when you're talking about losing a safety, a veteran star like Justin Simmons, and having to go with younger guys. I think the coaching staff is going to make up for some of the personnel losses on the secondary side. So I expect the defense to play stout, and I expect them to play a lot of unders in terms of the games you're looking at totals.
Awesome. All right. Look, we talk a lot about food in the show, so I have to. We have about less than a minute left, but I have to ask you: does Colorado have like a signature food? What is the food there? Like, you go to Philly, you get cheesesteaks. You go a lot of places, you get certain things. Maybe some Cajun down in, you know, Louisiana or something. What do you get in Colorado?
Green chili.
Really?
Absolutely. Colorado green chili. Now, we don't tell anybody that the Hatch chilies come from Hatch, New Mexico to make the green chili. But no, green chili in your crock pot with your pork. You know, you put it on your burrito, you put it on your eggs, you put it on everything. Green chili, without a doubt, you have to come to Colorado, get green chili.
Awesome. Chad Andrus, host of The Fan in Denver. Thank you so much for joining us, man. Take care.
Yeah, guys. See you.
All right. Well, there you go. That was Chad. We're going to come back here. We have Reno coming in at 4 o'clock and... maybe an appearance from the one and only Steve Cofield.